worth it, especially if we start losing sleepers again. Will we? We won't know for years to come, but in 50 years we'll be very near our destination, and the equipment which keeps the sleepers frozen will be getting very old. It's one of the few systems we can't keep upgrading and repairing. Too intricate, too dangerous. But a saving in flight time would always be a good thing. Mark my words. In 50 years you'll want to shave every month possible off this voyage. Did the people back home come up with a way to make the engines work better? Yes, exactly that. His father was pleased that he had guessed that much. All the ships in the flotilla received the transmission, of course, and we were all capable of making the modifications that it suggested. At first we all hesitated. A great meeting of the flotilla captains was held. Balcazar and 3 of the other 4 thought it was dangerous. They urged caution, pointing out that we could study the design for another 40 or 50 years before we had to make a decision. What if Earth discovered an error in their blueprint? News of that mistake could be on its way to us, an urgent message saying, stop, or perhaps 1 or 2 down the line they would think of something even better, but which it was not now possible to implement. Perhaps if we followed the first suggestion, we would rule out ever being able to follow another. Again Skye thought of the cleansing brilliance of that flash. So what happened to the Islamabad? As I said, we'll never know for sure. The meeting broke up, with the flotilla captains agreeing not to act until we had further information. 1 year passed. We kept debating the issue, Captain Khan included. And then it happened. Perhaps it was an accident after all. Perhaps, his father said doubtfully, perhaps. Afterwards, the explosion didn't do any serious damage, not to us or the others, luckily. Oh, it seemed pretty bad at first. The electromagnetic pulse fried half our systems, and even some of the mission-critical ones didn't come back online immediately. We had no power except for the auxiliary system serving the sleepers and our own magnetic containment bottle, but in our part of the ship, up front, we had nothing, no power. Not even enough to run the air recyclers. That could have killed us, but there was so much air in the corridors we had a few days' grace. Enough time to hardwire repair pathways and lash together replacement parts. Gradually we got things running again. We got hit by debris, of course. The ship wasn't totally destroyed in its own explosion, and some of those shards went through us at half the speed of light. The flash burned our hull shielding pretty badly, too. That's why she's darker on one side than the other. His father said nothing for a moment, but Skye knew that there was more coming. That was how your mother died, Skye. Lucretia was outside the ship when it happened. She was working with a team of techs, inspecting the hull. He had known his mother had died that day, known even that she was outside, but he had never been told exactly how it had happened. Is that the reason you brought me out here? Almost. The taxi banked, executing a wide turn which took it back towards the Santiago. Skye felt only a small stab of disappointment. He had dared to imagine that this trip might actually take him to one of the other ships, but such excursions were rare things indeed. Instead, wondering if he should try and force some tears, now that the topic of his mother's death had been raised, even though he did not actually feel like crying, he waited patiently for his home ship to enlarge, coming in out of the dark like a strip of friendly coastline on a stormy night. "Something you should understand," Titus said eventually. "The fact that the Islamabad's gone doesn't really threaten the success of the mission. There are 4 ships left now, say 4,000 settlers for Journey's End, but we could still establish a colony even if only 1 ship arrived safely." "You mean